Good evening, folks. QST, this is Marty, WV5Y. It's once again time for another edition of the Houston AmSatNet. This net meets on Tuesdays to discuss topics related to satellites, balloons, and other amateur-related items. This is net number 1614, and it's 8 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday, June the 3rd, 2025, which in UTC time is Wednesday, June the 4th, 2025 at 0100. This is a directed net, and all calls should go through net control. And this net is dedicated to Andy McAllister, W5ACM.
DL123.
Okay, thanks to Joe, W5BSA, our repeater control operator. We're on the 145.19 repeater here in West Houston. And we're also on the 443.325 repeater in Katy. And both of those repeaters have a PL tone of 123.0. And the Katy repeater also has links to the 146.7 and other repeaters. And the AMSAT DMR talk group, 98006. YSF Fusion, 11689. The All-Star node is 572580. And Echo Link is star, AMSAT, star. Okay, I'm up. Local check-in. Okay, I'll try one more time. Any check-ins for the Houston AmSat Net? Come now.
Kilo Delta 5, Papa, connect Juliet.
Good evening, Herbert. KD5PQJ over there in West Houston. Glad to have you with us. And let's see here. I guess we're going to start out with a little bit of information, as we usually do from the South Texas Balloon Launch Team. Of course, they do have their monthly meeting on the second Wednesday of the month, and that's at 4:30 p.m. here at a local restaurant. And then at 8 p.m. Central Time, they have their meeting over on Zoom, so anybody can participate or be in the background on and listen in. And that's over at k5wh.net/zoom. So we appreciate Walter keeping the South Texas Balloon Launch Team going there. Okay, let's see. Looks like Beaumont Radio Club has got their first Pico balloon launched, and let's see, that was a couple days ago, so well done to those guys. And looks like the call is W5RIN, so we'll be keeping an eye out for that one. Quick update here. Looks like the balloon there went off of the coast of Louisiana and headed out into the Gulf of whichever. And so, yeah, we'll be keeping an eye out. May go back over land, but could just keep heading south and east. So we'll keep an eye on that and see what happens. So that's the W5RIN that could be followed over at amperes.fi. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSat Net. I want to remind everybody that you can call and make a quick phone check-in to the Houston AmSat Net. The number to call is 713-467-9870. You could also send an APRS message. That's to West Virginia 5 Yankee with no dashes and no numbers, as Andy used to like to say. And you can also send an email. That's to WV5Y@comcast.net. All right, we're going over here to the AMSAT News Service Weekly Bulletins. This is bulletin number 152. And this week's editor is Mitch Ehrensdorf, 80HJ. And the AMSAT News Service Bulletins are a free weekly news and information service of AMSAT, Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. ANS publishes news related to amateur radio in space, including reports on activities of a worldwide group of radio amateur radio operator of amateur radio operators who share an active interest in designing, building, launching, and communicating through analog and digital amateur radio satellites. Alright, the news feed over on AMSAT.org publishes news of amateur radio in space as soon as our volunteers can post it. So please send any amateur satellite news or reports to ans-editor@amsat.org. And you can sign up for a free email delivery of the AMSAT News Service Bulletin via the ANS list. And they have lots of nice little pictures in there now. It's not all just text anymore like it used to be. So you can also go to the front page of AMSAT.org and you can click on the link there to look at the AMSAT News Service Bulletin. And but join the list, you go to mailman.amsat.org/Pastorius/lists/ans.amsat.org. Okay, we want to say welcome to SO-125, and that's AMSAT EA's Hades-IC. This has joined the Oscar fleet.
This is the W5BSA repeater.
Hades EA, AMSAT EA's Hades-ICM satellite. It's a 1.5U pocket cube carrying an SDR-based FM and digital repeater payload for amateur radio use. It was launched on March the 14th, 2025, aboard a Falcon 9 rocket during SpaceX's Transporter 13 mission, which was from Vandenberg Space Force Base in California. Following deployment from the Ion SCV-017 Orbital Transfer Vehicle, the OTV, on March the 31st, the satellite has been undergoing commissioning. The FM repeater is expected to be activated in June, initially on weekends, with plans to eventually transition to full-time 24/7 operation, as is currently the case with AMSAT EA's earlier Hades R mission. Hades ICM also hosts an experimental payload from the University of Manchester's Smart IR Graphene Engineering Innovation Center, the GEIC, designed to test a very low-power active radiator under space conditions. Data from this experiment will be publicly transmitted via telemetry packets. The satellite carries an FM and digital repeater payload built on an improved SDR-based platform capable of transmitting up to a quarter of a watt when battery conditions allow. This makes it accessible to stations using handheld antennas like the Aero antenna. The coordinated uplink frequency is on 145.875 MHz, and the downlink is on 436.666 MHz. repeater operates with an open squelch and does not require a subtone. The satellite has been cataloged with NORAD catalog ID of 63492. At the request of AMSAT EA, AMSAT hereby designates Hades ICM as SO-125 or Spain Oscar 125. We congratulate AMSAT EA, thank them for their continued contributions to the amateur satellite community, and wish them success with this and future missions. And we want to thank Drew Glassbrenner, KO4MA, AMSAT VP of Operations, and the Oscar Number Administrator for that information.
DL-123.
All right, your voice, your board, as in Board of Directors, nominate now for the 2025 AMSAT election. AMSAT has officially opened the nomination period for its 2025 Board of Directors election, which will take place during the third quarter of the year. Four director positions are set to expire in 2025. The current board members whose seats are up for election are Barry Baines, WB4ASW, Jerry Buxton, N0JY, Drew Glassbrenner, KO4MA, and Zach Mettinger, N0ZGO. In addition to these four full director roles, up to two alternate directors may also be elected to serve one-year terms. Nominate a candidate, a written submission is required. Nominations must include the nominee's name, call sign, and contact information, along with the same details for either five AMSAT members in good standing or one member society endorsing the candidate. Nominations should be directed to the AMSAT secretary, and that's Douglas Tabor in 6UA. Okay, if you want to do it the snail mail way, the address for Douglas, it's Douglas Tabor, T-A-B-O-R, in 6UA, at 1133 Verlan Way, that's V-E-R-L-A-N-W-A-Y, Cheyenne, Wyoming, 82009. And per AMSAT's bylaws, all nominations must follow the format specified by the secretary. Doug has indicated that nominations will be accepted in both hard copy via postal mail and digital formats, including email or scanned documents. However, fax submissions are not permitted. Email nominations should be sent to D, as in Douglas, T-A-B-O-R, at amsat.org, and all nomination petitions must be received by the secretary no later than June the 15th. After the submission deadline, the secretary will confirm the eligibility of each candidate and the supporting members or societies with final notification to candidates provided by the end of June. And we want to thank Doug Tabor in 6UA, AMSAT Secretary, for that information. All right, this is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AMSAT Net. Looks like another batch of CubeSat SIM kits will be available soon in the AMSAT store. And the new batch of CubeSat SIM kits will be available for purchase in the AMSAT store. That's at www.amsat.org/product/CubeSat-SIM-kit. And we want to thank Bruce, KK5DO, for making these links available over at amsatnet.com for us. See, on Thursday, June the 5th at 7 p.m. Eastern, U.S. Eastern Time, the kit should become available. They're priced at $550 with shipping included for U.S. addresses. The CubeSat SIM kit offers a hands-on learning experience with no soldering and some assembly, making it ideal for both educational use and public demonstrations. We're going to look at what the CubeSat SIM kit includes. Fully assembled and tested printed circuit boards. You get the main board, the solar board, and battery boards. There's the Raspberry Pi 02 with a Pi camera and fully programmed micro SD card, along with a fully programmed Raspberry Pi Pico WH. And then there's the AMSAT logo, remove before flight key tag switch. Okay, 3D printed frame, nylon screws and nuts with a mini screwdriver included for assembly. Metal standoffs, stacking headers, and JST jumpers for stacking the PCBs and the Pi 02. There's 10 solar panels with pre-soldered JST connectors and mounting tape. The BME 280 sensor, which is a pressure, temperature, altitude, and humidity sensor. And the MPU 6050 IMU/gyro, which is pre-soldered, and 2 6-inch SMA coax cables and 2 SMA antennas. All right, the kit comes with an instruction sheet, parts inventory, and links to online instructions. Assembly time is estimated to be under 2 hours with scissors and the provided mini screwdriver. Alright, the version 2 CubeSat SIM features improvements over version 1.2, such as an FM transceiver, Raspberry Pi Pico microcontroller, and RF command and control using DTMF or APRS packets. And as well, the micro CubeSat SIM kit can also be modified to function as a 500 milliwatt high altitude balloon payload. And then for those who want to scrounge their own parts up and create their own CubeSat SIM, version 2.0 blank PCB sets are available at the AMSAT store for $35. These require additional components, which can be purchased for approximately $400 using the provided bill of materials. Kit instructions come with it, and you can also find over a link to them over at CubeSatSIM.org/kit. There are kit videos at CubeSatSIM.org/kit-videos. There's a discussion forum over at GitHub. That's at GitHub.com/AlanBJohnson/ CubeSat.sim/discussions. And then there's a quick start guide over at CubeSat.sim.org/QST. For more information or to borrow a loaner CubeSat simulator, you can contact Alan Johnston, ANSAT VP of Educational Relations, and he's over at KU2Y@ARRL. Okay, if you'd like to order one of these CubeSat sim kits, the kits will be sold exclusively on the ANSAT store website. Only U.S. shipping addresses are eligible. Orders with non-U.S. addresses will be refunded and closed. CubeSat Sim is a low-cost satellite emulator powered by solar panels and batteries. It transmits UHF radio telemetry and can be expanded with additional sensors and modules, making it ideal for educational and public demonstrations. We want to thank Alan Johnston, KU2Y, AMSAT Vice President, Educational Relations, for that information. And yes, we will mention that over at HeathKit, they also offer a CubeSat SIM kit, and you get a little piece of the, a little piece of the foil from the lunar lander from Apollo 11. So that's kind of cool, but the price over there at HeathKit is about twice as much.
DL-123.
All right, this is Marty, WV5Y with the Houston AmSat Net. We're a little bit past quarter past the hour here, but we're going to take a standby and take a look around, and we're going to see who we've got checking in so far. Okay, of course, we got Herbert, KD5PQJ, off of the local repeater here in town. And good evening, man, again. We heard from Andrew, KC5. He's down there in Galveston and rang up the landline here. So we appreciate Andrew giving us a call and checking in. See, we got Charlie, K5ENG, and he's over there in West Houston, so we're glad he's doing good over there. We've got Dale, WB0AKO, up in Moorhead, Minnesota. Of course, he does the backup archiving of the audio for the website, and we appreciate him doing that back. We have flubbered up once or twice and had to use his backup. We've got Vern, WA0RCR, out in Wentzville, Missouri. And Vern transmits our net on 1.860 megahertz, full carrier AM, as he likes to say. And that's at 5:30 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays. So we appreciate Vern putting us on the top band. And then we've had some mega sunspots lately here, and HF conditions have been a little bit challenging, should we say, maybe to say the least. Okay, we've got Kai in 6ZZO. He's out there in McKinleyville, California. He's one of our podcast listeners, and he calls and checks in usually on Wednesday or Thursday. So we appreciate hearing from Kai there when he checks in. Okay, from the Internet Relay Chat System, we've got Ken, AK0A, Clay, KG4OZW, Brian, KG4WIJ, Renee, NZ9T, Bob, K8WX. And And also, good evening to Rachie. She's over there with Clay, KG4OZW. Okay, looks like Bruce is busy. He says he's on the AMSAT Board of Directors meeting assembly this evening. So while we're doing the net, he's over there busy taking care of business. Okay, from Echo Link, let's see, we've got Steve, KA5YFC. Good evening to Steve. We have Mitch, 80HJ. He's over there in Jackson, Minnesota. Of course, thanks to Mitch. He does the AMSAT Net on Wednesday night. It's tomorrow night, and that's at 9 p.m. Central Time. And he does that net over. So you can check out the AMSAT DMR Talk Group of 98006 or YSF Fusion 11689. And that will get you into the net there, no problem, as well as the EchoLink node and the KD repeater and other ways there that we're connecting. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT Net. Once again, the number to call and check in, 713-467-9870. Okay, yeah, we did have Starship go up again last week, and it went boom boom again, unfortunately. But their ninth flight yields data, even though it missed some re-entry goals. SpaceX achieved partial success Tuesday with the ninth test flight of its massive Starship rocket, overcoming prior engine shutdown problems but discovering new issues during the vehicle's return from space. Launched from the company's Starbase facility in South Texas, the rocket reached space and achieved full engine cutoff for the first time using its current Block 2 design. However, the upper stage lost control during coast and reentry phases, tumbling and eventually disintegrating over the Indian Ocean. Oh, and we're so glad to hear that Starbase is officially become its own name facility now, but you know, we're really going to kind of miss being able to say Boca Chica. The early stages of the mission went according to plan. All 33 Raptor engines on the Super Heavy booster ignited successfully, pushing the rocket twice the thrust of the Saturn V. After separation, the Starship upper stage ignited its own engines and reached a near orbital trajectory. Elon Musk confirmed on X that the main engines completed their full burn and that the heat shield tiles remained intact during ascent, both major improvements over previous tests. But soon after engine cutoff, SpaceX aborted and planned payload door test to deploy simulated Starlink satellites when the door failed to open. And then minutes later, engineers reported a loss of tank pressure in the Starship's attitude control system, causing the rocket to enter a slow spin. This compromised SpaceX's ability to restart an engine for orbital maneuvering and made a controlled re-entry impossible, eliminating the possibility to gather key data on new heat shield tile configurations. The mission ended with the vehicle tumbling into the atmosphere and breaking apart during re-entry. Despite the premature conclusion, SpaceX officials noted that they collected valuable data on a number of new systems. The company has been working to improve the durability of heat shield tiles, which are critical to Starship's goal of rapid reuse. Tuesday's flight included multiple experimental tile designs and attachment methods that engineers are eager to analyze, even with the limited re-entry data available. There was also progress on the Super Heavy booster. For the first time, SpaceX reused the booster from a previous flight, testing modifications aimed at improving fuel efficiency and failure recovery during landing burns. Although the booster exploded near the end of its descent rather than splashing down intact, it flew well to return. SpaceX believes data from this flight will inform future attempts to catch returning boosters with launch pad arms, or i.e. Mechazilla. The latest setback underscores the challenge of developing a fully reusable heavy lift rocket capable of missions to the moon and Mars. SpaceX began 2025 with ambitious goals for up to 25 test flights, but that timeline now appears unlikely. Musk, although, indicated that the next three Starships could launch within weeks of each other. Meanwhile, the Federal Aviation Administration is reviewing the flight, and engineers are analyzing telemetry to confirm whether new issues or previously known problems led to the vehicle's demise. As SpaceX prepares for its next test, company officials remain cautiously optimistic.
PL-123.
Okay, we got the link for the full article for you. You can find that over at amsatnet.com there, thanks to Bruce. Or you can go over to arstechnica.com/space/2025/05/spacex-may-have-solved-1-problem-only-2-find-more-on-latest-starship-flight. And we'll thank Stephen Clark from ARS Technica for that information. Okay, this is Marty WV5Y in the Houston AmSat Net. Let's see, we're at the bottom of the hour here, so let's take a quick standby, see if we've picked up any late check-ins. So any more check-ins for the Houston AmSat Net, come now.
Kilo Tango 5, Sierra Romeo Mobile.
Okay, KT5SR Mobile, what's the name out there?
Scott, and I'm in Katy, Texas.
Okay, Scott, welcome aboard, and glad to have you listening out there. We got anybody else? Okay, Scott, are you on the 443.325 machine there, the Katy machine, or are you getting in on 2 meters on the 145.19?
I'm on the 19 machine, 19.
Okay, well, very good. You got a good signal, so glad to have you with us. Okay, the 2025 AmSat President's Club coins have arrived, celebrating the 40th anniversary of amateur radio on human spaceflight. You can help support the Golf Project and Fox Plus. You can join the AmSat President's Club today, and you just go over to www.amsat.org/join-v-5y. WV5Y-AMSAT-Presidents-Club.
W5BSA repeater.
Okay, looks like the Japanese have been making some progress. We've got the Japanese private lander Resilience nearing lunar touchdown. Marty WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT net. Japan's iSpace is aiming for a June 5th landing attempt with its Resilience lunar lander now orbiting the moon. The spacecraft is targeting Mare Frigoris, a volcanic plain in the moon's northern hemisphere. If the landing succeeds, it would mark the first moon touchdown by a private Japanese and only the second lunar landing for Japan overall. Resilience launched on January the 15th aboard a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket, sharing the ride with Firefly Aerospace's Blue Ghost lander. Blue Ghost landed successfully on March the 2nd, while Resilience took a longer, energy-efficient route to the moon, entering orbit on May the 6th. The mission follows iSpace's earlier attempt in 2023, which failed during a descent after the lander misjudged the rim of a crater, and it went over on its side. On May 22nd, iSpace released a photo taken by Resilience showing the moon's south polar region. The image, posted on social media, reveals a rugged cratered surface and drew attention for an optical illusion in which the craters can appear as raised bumps. While Resilience will land far from the South Pole, the photo demonstrated the spacecraft's ability to capture detailed lunar imagery. The mission carries five payloads, including a small rover named Tenacious, developed by iSpace's European division. The rover is tasked with collecting lunar soil under a NASA contract awarded in 2020. It also carries a small artwork titled Moon House, created by Swedish artist Mikael Ginberg, and mounted to the rover's front bumper. Resilience joins a growing list of privately developed missions targeting the lunar surface. It follows earlier commercial efforts like Firefly's Blue Ghost and Initiative Machine's Odysseus, which landed in early 2024. These missions contribute to broader scientific and technical goals for lunar exploration. In addition to demonstrating landing capabilities, Resilience will test technologies designed for future iSpace missions, including navigation, communications, and thermal control systems. Data from the lander and its payloads will inform development of iSpace's next-generation landers, which are intended for satellite servicing and lunar cargo delivery. Okay, we got another link for you for the full article. It's also over at AMSATnet.com, thanks to Bruce. But you can go over to www.space.com/astronomy/private-japanese-moon-probe-naps-photo-of-lander-south-pole-ahead-of-june-number-5-landing. And we'll thank Mike Wall of space.com for that information. Okay, this is Marty WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT net. the June 2025 rankings for the top 100 rovers being mixed, low Earth orbit, medium Earth orbit, or geostationary in satellite as determined by @GridmasterMap on X has been released. The ranking is determined by the number of grids and DXCC entities activated, taking into account only those grids where a minimum number of QSOs logged on the gridmaster.fr website have been validated by a third party. Grid numbers do not directly reflect the exact number of activations. Satellite operators are encouraged to upload their logbook of the world's satellite contacts to gridmaster.fr in order to provide more accurate data. Okay, here goes the list. Updated 5/30/2025, and still in the number one position, we've got ND9M. Congratulations. Okay, following up position number one, we've got NJ7H, JA9KRO, UT1FG, N5UC, DL6AP, OE3SEU, DP0POL, F5VMJ, K5ZM, WI7P, LU5ILA, N6UA, HA3FOK, N9IP, WY7AA, W5PFG, AK8CW, DL2GRC, AD0DX, N4AKV, and AD0HJ. There's Mitch in position 22. Okay, then of course, and right after him in position 23, we have WB9EWK, then NV0C, and DJ8MS.
DL123.
Okay, let's see. Starting with 26, we've got KX9X. Okay, then ON4AUC. So we've got KG5CCI, N5BO, K8BL, KE4AL, KB5FHK, PA3GAN, F4BKV, VE3HLS, VI0KB, JO2ASQ, KI7UNJ, LA9XGA, BA1PK, VA3BGO, AGF, VK5BG, XE3DX, JL3RNZ. Okay, then rounding up the first half, we've got PR8KW, KE0WPA, KE0PVR, K7TAB, and JK2XXK. Second half, we start with EB1AO, AC0RA, W7WGC, XE1ET, N6DNM, EA4NF, SM3NRY, DF2ET, LU4JVE, AA5PK, KI7QEX, QEK, SP5XSD, F4DXD, DL4EA, AB7DB, VE1CWJ, KE9AJ, BG7QIW. All right, another one there from China. We've got N8RO, VA7LM, W8LR, KM4LAO, M1BBB, W1AW in position 74 and HB9GWJ in 75. Alright, then for the last quarter of the group, we've got N4UFO, PT2AP, AAHCH, PT9BM, BE1BOX, FG8OJ, YU0W, N6UTC, hey there's NDOF in position 83, we have AF5CC, KI7UXT, JM1CAX, KJ7NBY, PS8BR, N4DCW. Okay, then we've got WA9JBQ, KB2YSI, K0FFY, BE3GOP, N0TEL, KG4AXB, AKV, sorry, DK9JC, W8MTB, CU2ZG, K6VHF, and VE7PTN. Alright, and we want to say thanks to @GridmasterMap for that information. Alright, we've got some new hardware coming this year. It's the SDR Gen 2. It's a versatile GNU radio-based transverter. Covers from 144 MHz all the way up to 6 GHz continuous coverage. It will do direct VHF, UHF, 900 MHz, LS, and C-band operations. They still list that I keep reading up conversion to 5 and dime capability. I still haven't exactly figured out what that is yet. We've got all modes covered. CW, SFB, FT8, narrowband FM, single side SFTV, ATV, etc. Minimum downlink, data rate of 1 MSPS. Built to fly on Fox Plus and the Golf missions. We want to thank AMSAT engineers, Keeping Amateur Radio in Space, and ASCENT, the Advanced Satellite Communications and Exploration of New Technology Group. And we'll be following along for more information in the AMSAT News Service. Alright, as far as changes to the AMSAT North America TLE distribution for May 30th, 2025, this week there are no additions or deletions to the AMSAT TLE distribution. Two line elements are TLEs often referred to as Keplerian elements or KEPs in the amateur community, are the inputs to the SGP-4 standard mathematical model of spacecraft orbits used by most amateur tracking programs. Weekly updates are completely adequate for most amateur satellites. The TLE bulletin files are updated daily in the first hour of the UTC day, and new bulletin files will be posted immediately after reliable elements become available for new amateur satellites. More info can be found over at www.amsat.org/Keplerian-elements-resources. And there has recently been some changes, so we have a notice in an effort to minimize confusion between sources of two-line element sets. AMSAT is adopting the convention of listing the USSF/NORAD catalog satellite name first, followed by any secondary name or names in parentheses. For example, POEM 4, parentheses BGS AR PIT, closed parentheses, was added recently, where POEM 4 is the name that appears in the U.S. Space Force satellite catalog, and BGS ARPIT is the name best known within the amateur satellite community. Expect name changes for affected satellites in the coming weeks as this change is fully implemented. This week, there are no additions or deletions to the AMSAT TLE distribution, but we want to thank the AMSAT Orbital Elements page for that information. Hey, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. Amateurs and others around the world may listen in on contacts between amateurs operating in schools and allowing students to interact with astronauts and cosmonauts aboard the International Space Station. The downlink frequency on which to listen in on all the action between the students and the astronauts, it's on 145.800 MHz worldwide. Okay, there is the Royal Moroccan Air Academy in Marrakesh, Morocco, had direct via CN8ERA with ISS call sign OR4ISS, scheduled crew member Nicole Ayers, KJ5GWI. The Air's mentor was IM3GHZ. The contact was successful Wednesday, 5/28/2025, 12:55:36 UTC. And then the popular one here, I saw a posting on Facebook about this one, the Yonezawa 5th Junior High School in Yonezawa, Japan, had a contact via 8N7Y5JH. ISS call sign was OR4ISS. Scheduled crew member was Takaya Onoshi, KF5LKS. The Earth mentor, 7M3TJZ, contact was successful on Thursday, 5/29/2025 at 09/2302 UTC. They had a live stream over on YouTube, and you can still go over there and watch it. It's at www.youtube.com/live/SXPW07ONZSG. And we want to thank also Bruce making these links available over on AmSatNet.com.
DL-123.
Okay, a couple more contacts that already happened. We had the Akarsk Saratov region of Russia. The ISS call sign was RS0ISS with crew member Sergei Rykinov, Rysikov. The ARIS mentor was RV3DR. Contact successful Thursday, 5/29/2025 at 13:55 UTC. All right, to the Staromininsky District, Russia. Contact, ISS call sign, RS0ISS, crew member Kirill Peskov. ARIS mentor was RV3DR. Contact successfully on Saturday, 5/31/2025 at 10:35 UTC. All right, we've got an upcoming contact. Technical University of Dublin in Dublin, Ireland, direct via EI-1ISS, ISS call sign, scheduled to be OR4ISS, crew member is Takaya Onishi, KF5LKS, ARIS mentor is EI-8BP, contact is Wednesday, 6/4/2025 at 12:07:37 UTC. Sometimes a school may make a last-minute decision to do a live stream or run into a last-minute glitch requiring a change of the URL, but we at ARIS may not get the URL in time for publication. So you can always check live.aris.org see if the school is live streaming. All right, the crossband repeater continues to be active on the International Space Station. The frequency for the uplink is on 145.990 megahertz with a PL tone of 67. And then you listen on the downlink, it's on 437.800 megahertz. If any crew member is so inclined, all they have to do is pick up the mic, raise the volume up, and talk on the crossband repeater. So give a listen, you just never know. May end up talking to an astronaut when they're floating around in there. As they float by the radio, they may just grab it and decide to make some contacts. All right, the packet system is also active on the ISS, and it's on 145.825 megahertz up and down. As always, though, if there's an EVA docking or an undocking, the ARRIS radios are turned off as part of the safety protocol. And all the times we list are approximate. It's recommended you do your own orbital prediction or start listening about 10 minutes before our listed times. Okay, if you'd like to find the latest information on the operation mode for the ISS, you can find it over at www.ARRIS.org/current-status-of-iss-stations.html. And the latest list of frequencies in use can be found, and that's at www.ARRIS.org/contact-v-iss.html. And we want to thank Charlie Safana, AJ9N, one of the ARRIS operation team mentors, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AmSatNet. We've got some AmSat ambassador activities. Of course, AmSat ambassadors provide presentations, demonstrate communicating through amateur satellites, and host information tables at club meetings, AmFest, conventions, maker fairs, and other events. And AmSat Ambassador Clint Bradford, K6LCS, says, think a 75-minute presentation on working the easy satellites would be appropriate for your club or event? If so, let him know by emailing Clint at K6LCSCLINT@gmail.com or calling 909-999-7287. Clint has never given the exact same show twice. Each of his 150-plus presentations so far has been customized / tailored to his audiences. Okay, we've got the Rochester Amateur Radio Association HamFest, June 21st, at the Bernard Fire Department Park, 410 Maiden Lane in Rochester, New York. And that's at 14616. And the AmSat ambassador will be KB2YSI. The URL is rochesterham.org/hamfest.htm. The Greater Louisville Ham Fest is September the 6th, 2025, at the Paraquet Springs Conference Center, 395 Paraquet Springs Drive, Shepherdsville, Kentucky, 40165. And the AmSat ambassador will be W4FCL Bull Lowry, our director of the AmSat ambassador program there. And the URL is LouisvilleHamFest.wixsite.com/LouisvilleHamFest. All right, then there will be our big meeting that takes place, the 43rd Annual AmSat Space Symposium and Annual General Meeting. That will be October the 16th through the 19th, 2025, at the Holiday Inn and Suites, Phoenix Airport North. and that's at 1515 North 44th Street, Phoenix, Arizona 85008. And you can go to www.amsat.org/2025-symposium for more information. If you're interested in becoming an AMSAT ambassador, AMSAT ambassadors provide presentations, demonstrate communicating through amateur satellites, and host information tables at club meetings, ham fests, conventions, maker fairs, and other events. So if that sounds like something you'd like to try out or participate in, you can go to www.amsat.org/ambassador for more information. And I want to thank Bo Lowry, W4FCL, Director of the AMSAT Ambassador Program, for that information. Okay, you can donate $20 and get a cool Remove Before Flight key tag. It is the real thing, and they are now available. And you can help fly a Fox Plus satellite. It's for first class U.S. addresses only. You can order today at amsat.org/product/amsat-remove-before-flight-keychain. Okay, we're just out of time here, but we have to say congratulations to John, AB5SS, one of our local guys here, and the Balloon Launch Team of South Texas. He has earned Grandmaster Award number 72 for completing satellite contacts in all 48 grid and all 488 Grandmaster grid squares across the contiguous United States. Grandmaster Award is one of the highest honors in amateur satellite operations, recognizing exceptional dedication and achievement. So we want to say congratulations there to John, AB5SS. And we'll thank Bruce Page, KK5DO, AMSAT Director of Contact Awards, for that information. You can join AMSAT today by going to launch.amsat.org. In addition to regular membership, AMSAT offers membership to societies and recognized group clubs. Primary and secondary school students are eligible for membership at one half the standard yearly rate. Post-secondary school students enrolled in at least half-time status shall be eligible for the student rate for a maximum of 6 post-secondary years in the status. Memberships are available for annual and lifetime terms. Go to contactinfo@amsat.org for additional membership information. 73s for Remember to Help Keep Amateur Radio in Space. That's from this week's ANS editor, Mitch Ehrenstorf, 80HJ. And that's mahrenstorff@amsat.org.
PL123.
Okay, we ran just a few minutes over, but we hope everybody enjoyed this week's version of the Houston AMSAT Net. We look forward to catching everybody next week. So stay safe. Keep making lots of radio contacts out there and playing with those satellites and radios. Look forward to catching everybody next week. So from Andy, W5ACM, Bruce, KK5DO up there in Roman Forest, and myself, Marty, WV5Y in Northwest Houston, we say 7-3 for this week from the Houston AMSAT Net.